when God was talking to Moses, and he presented himself in front of Moses, and just that verse, I just have some thoughts about that maybe will prepare our hearts before we go to prayer. So I'm going to read from verse 1 to verse 6. So verse 1 of chapter 34, Exodus. And the Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou didst break. And be ready in the morning, and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning and went up unto Mount Sinai as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. Let's look to him in prayer. For our Heavenly Father, we just look to you at this moment to guide us as we have opened the Word, Father. Guide our thoughts and prepare our hearts as we bring our petitions to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So the setting here is that Moses has broken the tablets, the tables of stone that God has given him the first time. And verse 18 of chapter 31, it says, and he gave unto Moses, when he had made an end of communing with him upon Mount Sinai, two tables of testimony, tables of stone written with the finger of God. So that was the first tables of stone. And Moses, coming down from the mount, as you know, he saw what the people of Israel were doing, and he threw those stones, and he broke both stones as he saw the when the people were worshiping idols. So now is the second chance God gives Moses to make the tables of stones and bring him to God, and he's going to write again the Ten Commandments on him. So God is a God of a second chance. In this case, he declares in verse 5, it says, and he proclaimed the name of the Lord. God Jehovah proclaimed the name of the Lord. So verse 5, it opens, and the Lord, and that Lord is the word Jehovah, Yahweh. And it appears again in verse 6. And he proclaimed, again in verse 6, he announced a specific message to Moses as he communed with him. And what was the message? The message was, and the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. And as I looked at this word, interestingly enough, I didn't know a lot of things about this word, Jehovah, Yahweh. First, we don't know the true pronunciation for Jehovah, because they only the Jews just put YHWH for the word. And when they went to read the passages, they didn't have the vowels in it, and they would insert Adonai. They would read Adonai instead of it because they didn't want to say the word Jehovah or Yahweh, which we don't know if it's pronounced that way, but it's most likely pronounced that way. But it talks about the self-existence of God. If you turn back with me to Exodus chapter 3, And that passage is related or linked to this, to the mention of Jehovah. And Exodus chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus in the Gospel of John, when he was communicating with the Jews, brought up the I Am. So chapter 3 and verse 13, "And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, what shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you. And they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them?" Well, that's a fair question that Moses was asking. What is your name? You know, humans have a name. They're born, and the two things that identify us, each human, is the date of birth. It's recorded on the birth certificate. And the second thing is the name that our parents give us. So Moses, in his thinking, well, you know, there are many gods, and I want to know what is your name? And God said unto Moses, verse 14, obviously, I am. He says, I am. The first thing that comes to mind when you say I am is the self-existence of God. He never had a beginning, and he'll never had an end. But he never had a beginning, and he identified himself as I am. And then he repeats that, I am that I am. And he said, "Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." It's all you need to know, Moses. And that I am from the beginning. God in Genesis 1:1 said, in the beginning, God. That's how he identified himself. When there was nothing else created, when this world was, you know, not in existence yet, God was. God was. And this is the Jehovah, Yahweh, should bring that thought to our minds. God is from the beginning and will be at the end, as Revelation chapter 22 identifies the Lord Jesus Christ as the beginning and the end, Omega, Alpha and Omega. And this here, Jehovah, the triune God, is a self-existent God who had no beginning. Actually, Moses, in Psalm 90, and you don't have to turn to that, but Psalm 90 and verse 2, which it's thought that Moses wrote that psalm, he said, "Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever, thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." You know, I guess Moses got the message well. From everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. And this is what we ought to think when we bring our petitions to God. We're bringing him to a God who is a personal God, but yet he had no beginning and he will have no end. He is eternal. He created all things that we see and that we don't see. And the second word, if we're back to Exodus 34 and verse 6, so he proclaimed Jehovah, the Lord, Jehovah, Jehovah, God. So that word God is El, E-L. That signifies almighty or all-powerful. Jehovah, the self-existent covenant name of God, and God, the Almighty, that's the second description of God. And it denotes his might. Not only he was from the beginning, but we have also everything we see is his creation, signifies his might, his power, that he created all things. And then it goes to the first description of him, merciful, merciful. This word merciful talks about tender mercies, compassion of the Lord. Our God is compassionate, and I can't see it better than in the second person of the triune God, in the person of Jesus Christ, when he descended to earth and ministered to people. He was full of compassion. And the New Testament shows us in many places, and I'm not going to go to them, but his compassion towards people. And this is, we're talking now again about the God who we worship. He is a merciful. He is full of compassion. He is gracious. He is gracious. And he sent us the gospel of grace. And the grace of God is shown in what Christ has done, his finished work. That we were enemies, but yet Christ came to die for us. Again, the second person of the deity. You can see that in the description of this passage. And also, he's long-suffering. And this long-suffering is not easily provoked. God is not easily provoked. And if you see the accounts in the Pentateuch, in the five books of the Bible, you can see, you know, God was not easily provoked. He bore with the Israelites as they wandered from a place to another. And you know, many times they just fell short of what God wants them to be. But yet God was not easily provoked. Sometimes judgment came and many died in the wilderness. But yet we see the long-suffering of God. And he's long-suffering with us, too. He's not easily provoked. How many times we fail in our walk with him, but yet he's faithful. He abides faithful. And the last thing, he is abundant in goodness and truth. He is abundant in goodness. The word goodness is loving-kindness. Loving-kindness. Our God is a loving God, our God, you know, and that is clearly indicated in the New Testament, in the 1 John and other places where our God is described as a loving God who loved us even though we were enemies, even though we were living our own life, alienated from the promises of God, but yet God has showed mercy to us, God has showed his goodness to us, and truth, truth. You know, if we seek truth, and in this world there isn't much, you know, you hear all kinds of opinions. You hear all. Today I was talking to somebody, and I was waiting in a car dealership, and this guy comes to me, and we start talking, and he tells me about politics and all kinds of things. And then eventually I thought it was a good opportunity to introduce to him the God of the Bible. So, you know, I focused on the Bible. He wanted to go to church, talk about churches and all that stuff, but, you know, we went back to the Bible. And he was talking about gods, you know, as if there's many gods in this world. But, you know, there's nothing that can settle a human being's heart than knowing that when you open the Bible, is truth. Truth. And God said that his word is truth. And here it says, our Jehovah, our God that we worship, is abundant in truth, truth. And you know, when I read this, the first verse that comes to my mind is the description of Christ in John chapter 1. He's full of grace and truth, you know. And this is the deity of Christ manifested or shown in the New Testament. So, as we approach God, we approach a God who is merciful, gracious, long-suffering, long-winged, you know, not easily provoked, abundant in goodness, in kindness, and abundant in truth. And he says, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. How true that is. Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. He's forgiven many people their iniquities and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. He wasn't just going to, his justice demanded that someone has to pay for this, for sin. And he's not going to just clear the guilty, yet he brought punishment on his son. And but we have that privilege of, by believing on him, to have eternal life. So just a quick thing, you know, just to think about our God, the God who we worship, the God who presented himself to Moses in this passage as he communed with him. And you know, I mean, there's so many different passages. Lamentations talks about, chapter 2 talks about the mercy of God, how we would be consumed if it wasn't because of the mercy of God. Many passages in Exodus, Deuteronomy talks about, describes the Jehovah as exactly as those words, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, abundant, and abundant in goodness and truth. And that's the God that we worship. That's the God that we bring our petitions to as we come and share our burdens and bring them to the throne of grace. So just to keep in mind as we bring our petitions to him that we're bringing them to a God who is almighty, but yet merciful and gracious, and he's able to answer him in his time and his will. The last thought that I had was, you know, the Israelites, as they, because I couldn't, you know, as I was reading about Jehovah, I couldn't help it, but think that they would not defame the name of God by just pronouncing it. Because I think they were affected by the Ten Commandments, the commandment that you should not take the name of the Lord in vain. And they wouldn't even say the word. You know, you can think of today, you know, people use the name of God in a way that it's not, for a Christian, it hurts us to hear somebody defaming the name of the Lord. But yet, this is the Jehovah that we worship. So we ought to fear him in a way that respect, out of respect of who he is, and out of, you know, by just reading what he's done for us, by showing mercy and grace to us, we just have to be in awe of the person of God, Jehovah.